Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have two things, the Annunciation and the Visitation. Gabriel, the same angel who visited Zacharias and gave him the good news connected with the coming of the Messiah, that his son would be the chosen forerunner prophesied in scriptures and now being brought to fulfillment. Here, Gabriel comes to Nazareth and he comes to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, whose name is Mary. All right, so we learn four things about Mary here. Number one, she is a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And she was espoused to a man named Joseph, so she is betrothed, all right? But she's not yet married, all right? And she is of the house of David, very important. And her name is Mary. All right. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, notice that what the Lord says through the angel Gabriel is a kind and gracious greeting. All right. First, hail, thou that art highly favored. All right. So he tells her right off the bat, she has been favored of the Lord. Not because she earned it by her works. Not because she was in some way utterly superior to other people. But she was favored of the Lord just the way everyone else is favored of the Lord. That is, by grace through faith. All right, so she is highly favored. And we take from this that everyone who believes in Christ is under the favor of God. That's what the word grace means. All right, it means that God bestows upon us his favor, his approval, his kindness, his mercy, his love. All of that is embraced in the word grace, which means favor, favor. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. All right, and so we also hear this and rejoice that despite whatever we may be going through, the Lord is with his people. He never abandons us. He never forsakes us. He is with thee. All right. And we take courage from that because there are so many things in this life that fill us with anxiety, worry, and fear. But we must always keep before our minds that we are, by grace through faith, highly favored, and the Lord is with us. The Lord is with Mary in a very special way because she is the chosen one. And so the angel says, blessed art thou among women. All right? Not that she is in her own nature superior to other women, but she is the woman in particular who has been chosen by God to be the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. All right? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman would come into the world to redeem and save the sinful human beings from the clutches of the devil. Mary is the particular woman who is chosen to be the one who gives birth to that seed who will conquer the devil on behalf of humans. Everything that has been said to Mary so far is gracious and comforting. Right? Yet, because it is an angel of God who appears to her, right, she is filled with fear and anxiety. The Bible says that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And so she hears these gracious words, but because she in her fallen, sinful human condition is now confronted with the presence and the glory of God, she cannot help but be troubled. All right? And this is what happens. You remember that story of the great catch of fish, when Jesus said to the disciples, put your net on the other side of the boat and you'll have a catch. And they catch so many fish that the boat almost begins to sink. And Peter, he falls down before Jesus and he says, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. You see, when fallen, sinful creatures are confronted by the holiness and the presence of God, fear is one of the first things that happens, because we realize in the presence of God our own sinfulness and our own personal inadequacy. All right? And so here, Mary, just like everyone in Scripture who is confronted by the presence of God or the presence of a holy angel of God, she is troubled and she wonders, what on earth is happening? All right? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Notice, first of all, he allays her fears. Fear not. And then he calls her by name. Fear not, Mary. Remember that God knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows what you need, and he knows what he has prepared for you to fill that need. The Lord knows you. And he says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. There's that word favor or grace again. Thou hast found favor with God. Always remember, you know, you have enough trouble in the world around you, and you have enough trouble with your own weaknesses and sins, that it's very easy to fall into a negative aspect. But here, what he says to her is, you have found favor with God. That's the thing that we must always remember about ourselves. That, yeah, I live in a sinful world and I'm a weak person, but God favors me. Here, the favor that God has for Mary is directly connected with her mission to be the mother of our Lord. And therefore, when we think about this, we must remember that it is Jesus who establishes our situation of being favored by the Lord. So, he says, and pay attention to this, because this tells us so much more than is obvious right on a casual reading. He says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. She is a virgin. She shall conceive. She shall bring forth a son. You see Isaiah 7:14 hovering in the background. It's like Gabriel is commenting on Isaiah 7:14, with one exception. He says, "You shall call his name Jesus," which means the Lord is salvation. All right, the Lord is salvation. Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. Whereas in Isaiah 7:14, she shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now notice, he says you shall call his name Jesus, but everything he proceeds to say now will be a commentary on the word Emmanuel from Isaiah chapter 7. It says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Oh, so that's what it means when the Messiah is called Emmanuel, God with us. It means that God will become incarnate in the womb of the Virgin, and when he is born, he will be the Son of God. He is, according to the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, but according to the Spirit, according to his divine nature, he is the Son of God from all eternity, who now becomes incarnate in the womb of the Virgin. And so in the person of Jesus, who at first is in the womb and then later in the world, that's what Emmanuel means, that God has become flesh for our redemption. He is with us for our salvation. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end." So Isaiah chapter 9 is joined together with Isaiah chapter 7, and we are being told many things here about the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He will be given the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Think of the visions of Daniel the prophet. There are several visions where Daniel pictures the progression of earthly empires or kingdoms. And there are four of them. And during the time of the fourth kingdom, the Son of Man will come, and he will establish the kingdom of God, which shall never pass away. All right. So in the book of Daniel, we are shown this eternal kingdom of the Messiah. And here, the angel refers to that. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This also fulfills the promises made to David. God gave these wonderful promises about the throne of David and about the Son of David who would reign forever. And yet, all throughout the history from David onward, there was never a true fulfillment. All of the descendants of David failed to live up. Some were good, many were bad, but they never fulfilled what the promise was. But now the Son of David will fulfill, in an ultimate sense, the promises made to David. All right, and so we see what the angel is saying to Mary. Remember, she has heard the preaching and teaching of the Bible from her childhood. And what the angel is doing is, in a very brief way, he is bringing to her mind all of these promises and scriptures that are to be fulfilled in one act, the incarnation of the Son of God. So Mary, she asks a question. It is a question of faith seeking more information. Zacharias's question was one of doubt. All right, but Mary is not doubting. She is asking for more understanding. And this is a great thing, that we understand the difference between doubt, which hears the word and neglects to receive it in faith, on the one hand, that we should never do. And then secondly, to hear the word of God and to say, tell me more, help me to understand this. So she says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? All right? She is betrothed, but she is still living in the home of her parents, and Joseph is still living in his home. And so they have not yet come together. And so she is saying, how shall this be? All right? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, and once again, we are being reminded of this gracious activity of God for our redemption. He said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, he continues with that Emmanuel idea, all right, that the activity of the Holy Spirit and the overshadowing of the presence of God will cause this thing to be, and the result will be that the child born to you will be the Son of God. Now, one of the interesting things that happens here is that this is something that plays itself out in the life of everyone who becomes a Christian. All right? Through the gospel, whether the gospel is presented to us in preaching, in reading, or in baptism, through the gospel, the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and the seed of God's word causes Christ to be conceived in our hearts. That is, we are born from above through the work of the Holy Spirit. So what happened to Mary in a very literal sense happens in the heart of everyone who hears and receives the word of God. The Holy Ghost comes upon us, the power of the Most High overshadows us, and Christ is conceived in our hearts. And so he's given her this wonderful news and filled her with confidence that the Lord is bringing the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament. And then to encourage her heart, he says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And this is a very encouraging message to Mary. It tells her immediately that there is someone else who knows what's going on. Christian faith always seeks the fellowship of others who are of like faith, so that they may come together and encourage one another and to bless one another in their journey through life, doing the will of God and maintaining faith. And so here, Elizabeth is shown that there is someone else who knows what she is going through, someone else upon whom the hand of God has rested, and she knows very well that Elizabeth is an old woman who has been called barren for her entire life. And then the angel finishes by saying to Mary and to us, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." And what that means is whatever God says he will do, whatever God promises, you know, one of the things when we hear God's word, we sometimes go, how can that happen? Right? That doesn't seem to be in accordance with the ordinary course of nature. How can that be? And sometimes we are tempted to doubt what God has promised and gives. But here, what the angel says to Mary, he says to us, nothing is impossible with God. Whatever he says he's doing, and whatever he promises, it is absolutely no difficulty whatsoever for him to fulfill it. This is the big difference, for example, during the Reformation, between the followers of Zwingli and Calvin on the one hand and the followers of Luther. Luther understood the great secret that whatever God says, he is able to do, even if it doesn't make sense to our human reason. Whereas Zwingli and Calvin believed that God must always conform his words and his activities to the sensibility of human reason. And so Luther said, when Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood," he meant what he said, and what he said he is able to do even if we don't understand it. And Calvin and Zwingli said, no, it must mean something else. Jesus must have been using symbolic language because God cannot be present in a little piece of bread, and he cannot be present in a little sip of wine. And therefore, he must be meaning something else. And Luther said, no. What God's word says he does, he is quite and simply able to do. And we are therefore to believe it and to receive it and to rejoice in it. And here, so we see this word. Mary is being told something that goes completely contrary to human reason and human nature. And the angel closes by saying, nothing shall be impossible with God. And therefore, when you hear the words and promises of God, and in your heart there want to arise doubts and questions, always remember, whatever God says and promises, he is able to do and to perform. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Now, this message is not lost on Mary. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. So she says, yes. And the angel departed from her. And Mary is now pregnant. All right. So when did the Holy Ghost come upon her? And when did the power of the Most High overshadow her? Right in that moment when she heard the blessed promise and choice of God, and when she gave the answer of faith, yes, be it unto me as thou hast said. And just as the gospel is the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit comes to us with his grace, and then the faith, which is born of that gospel message, receives the blessings of faith, all right, the salvation of the soul. So it is here that Mary, as she responds in faith and submission to this revelation and will of God, by the time the angel departs from her, she is pregnant. All right. Now, she arose in those days and went with haste to the hill country of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth. Right? That's what it means. Saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. Right? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So at the voice of Mary, right, and the voice of Mary here anticipates the preaching of the gospel in all the world by the Holy Christian Church, which is the bride of Christ. Right? So as Mary salutes Elizabeth, and the voice of Mary is heard, and the baby leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost, so it is that God has chosen that the salutation of the bride of Christ in the world, it evokes faith, and it evokes rejoicing, and it brings with it the Holy Ghost and all the gifts that are promised in the gospel. So, the babe leapt in her womb. Now, that doesn't mean the typical kind of, you know how when pregnant women, the baby moves around, all right, and there is a little bump here and a little bump there. That's not what's being referred to. What's being referred to is an extraordinary, noticeably unique and different leaping of the baby in the womb. John the Baptist didn't just like move his elbow, all right? He rejoiced. You know how like if you're playing with a baby and the baby is laying on a blanket and you're talking to the baby and saying lovey little cute things, and the baby starts wiggling like that and starts, yeah, you know how babies get, you know, when you play with them. That's more like what's going on. There is a notable and unique thing, so that Elizabeth would immediately know this is more than just the movement of a baby in the womb, that this baby is leaping at the sound of the voice of Mary. And at the same moment, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, and these are words inspired by the Holy Ghost. She is prophesying here. Okay? Blessed art thou among women. She repeats the words of the angel Gabriel. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? So she, by the Holy Ghost, understands that Mary is the mother of my Lord and that she has come to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth feels the unworthiness and the wonderful surprise of this opportunity for fellowship, for two believers who have an understanding of what God is doing that other people don't have at this point. And so it is a wonderful thing that they're able to come together and to be of encouragement and comfort to one another, as to be the two people who are most intimately connected with all of this activity. And then she says, "For as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Right? So here we see, and it's one of the most comforting little aspects, God is able to give his Holy Spirit even to little babies in the womb, and that those babies in the womb are able to respond to the presence of the Holy Spirit and to the word and work of God. And so if that can happen to a child in the womb, it can certainly happen to an infant in the baptismal font. All right? So we need not worry whether or not all nations includes little children. All right? God's gracious gift is not limited by human reason or human reasonings. And so the little child leapt in my womb for joy. And then she said, "Blessed is she that believed." You see, when Mary heard this news from the angel of the Lord, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She believed this. And so Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she that believed." So it is with us. Blessed are those who believe the word of God. Because even though in the world it looks as if God's word is often not true, because our eyes are limited by our sinful condition and the unbelief of the world, and sometimes it looks like our prayers hit the ceiling and come back down upon us, and it looks as though nothing is really graciously and wonderfully happening. But God grant that he opens our eyes to see, blessed is the one who believes. Why? Because there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. All right. And so hang in there. Whatever your problems, whatever your troubles, God will fulfill his gracious plan for your life. Blessed is the one who believes. And then Mary says, and we'll close on this today, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." All right, so she praises the Lord. Why? "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." Notice, the low estate. Mary was a descendant of David, as we read earlier. But she was in a low estate, living in a hick town up in Galilee, which is not in Judea and which is not cosmopolitan. Okay. And so he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. He's done these things despite my unworthiness. "For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." That's why we refer to her as the Blessed Virgin Mary. All right. "All generations shall call me blessed." Why? Because he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. All right, so the first thing she praises the Lord about is God's gracious activity to her. The second thing that she praises him about is that his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So she universalizes it. And she says that the mercy that God has shown me, he shows to all who fear him from generation to generation. And then third, he hath showed strength with his arm. He has kept his promises. He shows that what he says, he's able to do. All right? He has showed strength with his arm. And in doing so, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. All those who are too smart, too clever, too wise to believe the word of God, he scatters them. All right? He hath put down the mighty from their seats. All right? Think of Herod. All right? Herod had no part in this. All right? Think of all the wise and the mighty. Think of the Pharisees and the scribes and all the highly regarded among the Israelites. He puts down the mighty from their seats. Think of all those today in our world who think they're too clever to believe in the promises of God in the scriptures. He puts down the mighty from their seats. And he exalts them of low degree. He lifts up those who believe. All right? He exalts them. He hath filled the hungry with good things by fulfilling his promises and showing them that his word is true, and by establishing them and growing them in his grace and in the favor of God, he fills the hungry, those who know that they need God and that they need God's mercy. He fills them with good things. And the rich, those who despise God's word, those who will not receive it, he hath sent empty away. All right? They cheat themselves out of their own opportunities. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He remembered his promises and he's helped us. How has he done it? By the incarnation of the Son of God. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That is, he is fulfilling all those prophecies that we have studied all of our lives from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the last words of the prophet Malachi. The Old Testament is filled with direct and indirect prophecies of the coming of this very event, the incarnation of the Son of God. And so Mary rejoices in these things, as should we. And then it says, Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And so it is, we, after we come together around God's word, and we are encouraged by one another in this coming together, this fellowship around God's word, we then go back to our own houses. But we do so fortified. Now, Mary has a number of challenges before her. When she gets home, she will be noticeably pregnant. All right? And so she will no longer be able to hide the fact that she is pregnant. And she has the concern that any normal person would have. How am I going to tell Joseph, and how is he going to react? All right? And so when she goes home to her own house, she goes home to a to a real test. All right? People are going to look at her and they're going to say, ooh. And Joseph is going to have to be told. And how is that going to work out? And Mary doesn't know. All right? So she goes home to her own house, understanding that in this life, just as we understand it, we are fortified and strengthened in the Christian fellowship around the Word of God, but then we must go back into our daily vocations and into our normal lives, where we will encounter many temptations, many trials, and many difficulties. All right? And so Mary is now fortified, just as we are fortified in the gospel, so that when we face trouble and temptation, we can do so with hearts filled with the serenity of faith. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.